Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel again. And this video is about Lord William Jefferson Haig of Richmond of Yorkshire being elected Chancellor of Oxford University. And these are lugubrious tidings indeed. Well, I knew a bad person was going to win it. I feared it was going to be Lord Peter Mandelson. I suppose Haig is not quite as bad as him. There were five people in the second round. I was eliminated in the first round. I couldn't see the Oxford graduates voting for a Conservative. There we go. In case you don't know, Haig is a superannuated Tory politician. So he attended Magdalen College, Oxford himself, starting in 1979. He read philosophy, politics and economics and graduated with I don't know which class of degree. So Oxford divided into various colleges. You may not know that. So PPE was his subject. One is not required to be an Oxonian to be elected to that office. Only Oxford graduates and the Dons are permitted to vote, but anybody can stand. And methinks there are no restrictions on nationality. There's no residency requirement for this office. And the Chancellor doesn't even live in Oxford. He visits a few times a year. It's solely a symbolic position. I don't think he or she exercises any policy control over it. I mean, in my manifesto, I set out my policy wishes with the university, but I was just opining. I think the Chancellor is powerless, but I could at least advocate for the causes that are worthwhile. So then he worked for McKinsey and Co, blah, 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 elected to Parliament at the age of 28 for Richmond in Yorkshire and held various high offices. He was a real Tory boy, famous or perhaps infamous for age 16, addressing the Conservative conference about rolling back the frontiers of socialism. And some of you won't be here in 10 or 20 years time, ha ha ha, because they're all so old, but I will and I want to be free. So apparently people in the audience saying, bastard, 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 were so jealous that he had such a magnificent start in politics. And indeed, he went quite far. He replaced, a Conservative cabinet minister, was it Nigel Lawson or something, and went on to be a European commissioner in Brussels. So, and then Haig was a completely lockstep Thatcherite. It's like he never thought of thinking for himself at all, totally unoriginal, which is not to say he's stupid. I mean, he is intelligent. I think even his most implacable foe, and that's probably me, would say he's smart. And he did very well at McKinsey & Co. Okay, raked in money and gave the university some advice about how to how to raise funds, which has been highly successful. But he's been a snake oil salesman. He's a spiv. Yeah, sharp-suited. You couldn't say there was ever a hair out of place, metaphorically speaking, since he went prematurely bald. But he's very bland. He's very conventional. He has never been guilty of the tiniest amount of moral courage. So he's defended the most heinous Conservative policies. He's a liar. He's been able to willing to lie on all sorts of things, mislead the House of Commons, lie in politics all the time. And he will always deflect when he's asked a tough question, he'll misdirect. You can see his mind whirring. He's the politician's politician. There's no authenticity. There's no hinterland to him. Harumphing. He will deal with things obliquely. Now he's out of frontline politics. He's never going to hold a cabinet job again. Haig has become a bit more candid, but really he was a low-down scumbag. He was made Secretary of State for Wales in 1995 when John Redwood resigned. It was a back me or sack me thing. John Major, there was a lot of muttering in the ranks. So John Major, the Prime Minister, he resigned as leader of the Conservative Party to force a leadership election, which he stand again, as in to quell any dissent and strengthen his position. And that worked for him because John Redwood was seen as too swivel-eyed, too much of a right-wing loon. And then Haig got that position, was the youngest cabinet minister, elected leader of the Conservative Party in 1997 and beat some big beasts like Ken Clark. There was a liberal Haig for the first 2 years of his leadership. Then there was a more right-wing Haig for the second 2 years because liberalisation just really wasn't working. He was a catastrophic leader of the Conservative Party. Admittedly, it was a very difficult time to take over, but opportunity knocks. If he didn't get it this time, he'd never get it, and put himself in a strong position. If he did win in 97, could he hang on? Sorry, we win in 2001. Could he win 4 or 5 years later? I mean, the result was so terrible that he was sentenced to resignation at dawn as the results rolled in. I remember watching it when he resigned outside the Tory HQ in Smith Square. But, I mean, it was still a major figure within the party, and then he was a foreign secretary under David Cameron. He was the architect of the Libyan civil war, which still rages on. We still live with the consequences of that decision. Admittedly, it's not Haig alone. Then it became European Union policy, the United Kingdom back then being an EU state, to bomb Libya in order to act as the air force of the insurgents. Now, I hold no brief for Gaddafi's tyranny. He was cruel. He murdered hundreds of his people, maybe thousands. He was oppressive, certainly. But what has happened since has been even worse. There was at least some economic development. There was some very rough justice. There was some order in Libya under him. And that hasn't been the case ever since. And that's thanks to you, William Hague. And if you're not sure whether intervention is right or not, then don't do it. You need to be very sure indeed you're going to bring a better outcome. And it shows that he's been determined to learn absolutely nothing from Afghanistan and Iraq and so forth. So he's a low-down scumbag, will break electoral promises like that, a perjurer, mislead the House of Commons. He is truly despicable. And for him, it's always about electoral advantage. He's never doing things because he believes it's the right thing. Wow. He's got no bedrock beliefs. So he'll just come out with all these sort of anodyne phrases, trot out a cliche all the time. He's completely unoriginal. I forced myself to read most of his biography of William Pitt. What can I say? Thin gruel. Mediocre. I suppose overpromoted. He came from a working class family, which is one of the reasons he got elected in 97. And he was the youngest of the candidates, age 36, one of the youngest Conservative MPs, a party that was seen as too Southern English, too posh and too old. And he seemed to correct all that. Everybody knows he's gay, which is entirely honourable. But why doesn't he come out? People have known this since the 1980s. He married Fionn Haigh. And as I say, in the party, they're very good friends. And when rumours about his sexuality came out in the press, he said how she'd had a miscarriage, as in he'd been copulating with her. I'm not sure quite what she sees in it for her. She was his civil servant when he was in the Welsh office. That would be a real no-no these days. You can't be dating a civil servant. That would be a Me Too moment, a sexual harassment. I mean, I've got no evidence harassed her. She was very happy with it. Okay, she married him. But these days it would be considered deeply inappropriate, which is the foulest possible insult now. So he won, and Lady Elish Angelini came second, that leftist Scottish lawyer. So he says he's going to do everything for that. Dominic Grieve was the best of a bad bunch. I would love to have seen Lord Peter Mandelson's face when they told him that he lost. Ha, ha, ha. So Haig is despicable. I'm very sad about that he's won. And of course, he was the immediate predecessor of Rishi Sunak in Richmond. And I suppose they're cut from the same cloth, like completely superficial, utterly invertebrate, evil, violent towards children, just nauseating. But the good thing, I suppose, about Haig is he is good at fundraising. He'll glad hand people. He is oligenous. He's saponaceous. He will say the right thing. And he will be able to get people to donate to the university. He's not the worst wokester. That's one of the few things he can say in his defense. But it's deeply dispiriting that these liars, these traitors, these low down, cowardly rats, they are the ones who get to the top. What does it say about the world that people like that win? It's dispiriting. Those who take a stand on principle, who are conviction politicians, who tell it straight, they get nowhere. Honesty is the worst policy. People will never forgive you for telling them the truth, even when they ask for it. So that's it. Right. Could be worse, I suppose. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.